Good morning, River Church. Welcome back. I am so excited to finish up my two messages on Ephesians 6 and spiritual warfare. If you missed last week, I really want to encourage you to go back and listen and hear the build up for why we're even talking about the armor of God today. Because today I want to go into more about how has God prepared us for the battle that we are in. But last week, I talked about what is the battle, who are we actually fighting, and I used the reference about a whack-a-mole, about how we are tending to go after all of the little distractions rather than going to the source and just unplugging the source directly. So if you missed that, go listen to the whack-a-mole message from last week to prepare yourself for this week, which is the armor of God. And it starts in Ephesians 6, 13 through 18. So I'm going to go ahead and read that first, again, from the Passion Translation, and then we'll get into what all of this means. So it starts in verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. What is so great about this is that Paul is outlining all of these specifics. And when you think about it, Paul was a Roman and grew up watching Roman soldiers. And he probably studied them and he learned about their battles and the preparation that it took for each of these soldiers to go into these mighty battles. And so it's neat to think about how Paul could have seen all of that and how it translated into something very spiritual and the spiritual battle that God had revealed to him that is actually happening all around us. Again, something I referred to last week. So the first question I want to address is, why do we need the armor? You know, we talked about this battle and who we're battling and the whack-a-mole thing and all of that stuff, but why do we need armor? Well, in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 and 9, and this is the NIV version, it says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. And the question is, well, how is that even possible? How do Christians endure such pressures and not be defeated? How do we withstand the pain that we're in now and come out on the other side of this victorious? That just seems impossible. Yet it is possible, and it's promised that we will do this, that we can do this, because it's not us. It's because all of this hinges not on us, but on the answer, it lies in him and on the armor that he gives us to put on to fight this battle. He has said, you're going into battle, and you're not going in unprepared. You're not going in without all of the things necessary to win this battle, to fight this battle. I'm giving you all of the things because you're going into a battle, and I'm going with you. And so many of us, we haven't really thought about the armor of God. We haven't really thought about what it means to put this all on. And so that's where I want to go. And I want to encourage us and remind us that we are fighting a very real war. And the stakes are higher than anything we've ever seen before. Because this, the battle that we're in, even right now, it's not a battle for our physical health with COVID. It's not a battle for our American freedoms. This is a battle for our souls. This is eternal battle. This is far greater than the things that we are seeing. This is far different. That doesn't mean that these other battles aren't, or that these other things that we're distracted by don't mean anything. That's not what I'm saying. But I think that sometimes we forget the stakes of this, the battle for our souls, the eternal outcome of our souls and for those that are around us in this world. This is the battle for where our truth and our belief connect And I talked about this last week, where Ephesians 1 through 5 and all of the power and the unity and the identity and the giftings that God gave us to and the relationships that we have and how we use all of this and we imitate Christ and we live and work and move in his power. All of this needs to be connected with our belief so that and our knowing and our understanding. And the enemy wants to come in and create division in that place. That is the spiritual warfare. And we've got to understand that that connection is vital for our eternal souls. That connection is vital for our victory here on earth. And this is what the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And he'll do anything to create the doubt. Let me remind you of the spiritual warfare symptoms that I talked about last week. Because I'm not being dramatic when I say that to lose the war is to lose everything. It is to lose this eternal connection. It is to lose this place with the Lord, alongside the Lord in all of these things. And here's the symptoms of spiritual warfare: doubt, confusion, distraction, temptations, weak faith, loss of hope, loss of peace, unusual illnesses, resentment towards God, and suicidal depression. These are what separate us from the truth. And so as believers, as followers of Christ, as soldiers in the army of the Lord, we are called to battle. And we are called to battle and fight the real enemy. And we are called to stand and empowered to stand victorious. So I'm going to quickly take you through the armor of God. And I need you to know that I am quickly taking you through the armor of God for sake of time. Because there is so much. There's probably a message in each piece of the armor of God, easily. And I got a lot of this information from a Bible study, a study on the armor of God, and I had to just kind of pick through this depth of information and stuff, and it was like, oh, it was so hard to even know. So I want to encourage you to go and study some more on your own. Take the little nuggets that I'm giving you and then take them back, sit with the Lord, and study what the scriptures say about the armor of God and how and why we are to put it on and wear it and how it is to be used in the battles that we are facing. So know that I am giving you a brief overview, and I want to ask you to join me in using your imagination to see the armor of God, because I don't have any armor of God with me right now. So picture that it's here. Picture that we're putting it on, all right? So the first thing that Paul talks about is the belt of truth. And I like to know not only what is the belt of truth and what is the truth, but why does he say it's the belt? Like, why is it not the elbow pad or the, I don't know, whatever you want to talk about. But like, why did Paul, inspired by the Spirit, say very specifically that the truth is to be worn like a belt? There's a belt of truth. Well, going without a belt is like going undressed and unprepared. So can you imagine a soldier going into, again, imagine a Roman soldier specifically, because that's the time that Paul wrote this. See, these going into battle without a belt. The belt is what holds the clothes in place. This is what holds the garment right there. All right. So, and it also is the place where it holds the sword. It's the connecting piece for the armor that the soldier's wearing. And if you don't have a belt on, you don't have your clothes on, and you don't have your weapon on. So your belt is like, if you don't start with this truth, then you're not going to defeat the enemy. You're going to get pelted. And if you have partial truth, you can't defeat the enemy. You can't have a belt that, you can't say, oh, I believe most of this except for this, or I'm going to take out this piece because that doesn't really matter. Like, you can't have a whole belt on that is actually connected and doing its job of holding the clothes and holding the weapon. You can't have a belt that doesn't work because it's like going in undressed and unprepared. And that's really silly. And we tend to throw around a lot of opinions. Have you heard a lot of opinions lately? And we tend to throw around a lot of opinions and we call it truth. But Jesus said that the word of God is the truth. And that is the truth that we are to put on ourselves. The word of God, the truth in John 17:17. We are able to search the scriptures for what is true. Not the news, not our culture, not opinions. We are to search the word for truth, because that's where we're going to find it. And we are to test what we hear against the word. And not just the word that makes sense to us, or the word that's easy for us to believe or understand. We test things through the whole word of God. This is the truth belt that we are to wear and put on in the armor of God. The second one that he talks about is the breastplate of righteousness. Picture breastplate of righteousness. And this breastplate protects what is vulnerable. Our heart, our lungs, our organs. It's protecting us here. And without it, it's surely death. Surely death without something to cover what is really vulnerable in this place. And I thought about our law enforcement that uses bulletproof vests, and they don't put them on because they're unarmed or they're not trained, but they put them on because they need protection from things that they can't see. The breastplate of righteousness protects us in our vulnerable place so that we can do what we need to do. And self-righteousness is going without the breastplate, all right? So the breastplate is the righteousness of God, and self-righteousness is like taking the breastplate off. And self-righteousness is what leads us to destruction. It's like a sheep wandering around and not listening to the shepherd. And when we do that, we leave his protection. When the sheep leads the shepherd, we are sheep, by the way, and he is our good shepherd. But when we leave the protection of the shepherd in our self-righteousness, of our ways of doing it, that's got to be a better way, we leave the protection of God. We leave the safety of God, and we leave ourselves exposed and vulnerable to the enemy's attack, very specifically in that area. You know, an example of this is I'll take one that's come up recently, is that when God says to honor the Sabbath, okay, our shepherd is saying, I want you to honor the Sabbath. Well, it's not about him controlling us. It's not about him making us follow all of these rules. When he says things like this, it's for our protection, because God knows that we need rest. God knows that we find our worth in running around trying to prove that we are worthy. God says, I want you to just rest. I want you to be with me. Take a Sabbath. Have that time to reset, to refocus, to be connected back with me. Basically, righteousness is just being right with God. It's like closely following his way in obedience. And that's what protects us. That's staying close with our shepherd. And guys, we can open ourselves up to more warfare by pridefully going into battle unarmed, by pridefully walking into a battle in our own righteousness, by pridefully walking into battle without our belt of truth. And we are going out, and this is where we can become so wounded, because we've opened ourselves up to what the enemy is doing, because we have strayed away from the protection and care of God's righteousness, of staying close with him. The next thing that Paul talks about is that our feet that are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. That's a mouthful, but I want to think of it like this. So what happens when we walk around without shoes? Okay, now I know some of you like walking around without shoes. I'm actually not one of them. I love to have shoes on. I don't mind bare feet, but I'm definitely one that likes to walk around with shoes on. But think about what it would be to not wear shoes into a battle. So if you're walking without shoes, you can be easily distracted, because you'll feel everything that you're walking on, every rock or every hot or cold or pokey surface that you're walking on. You're very distracted. And I find when I walk around without shoes on, I'm constantly looking at the floor to see what I'm about ready to step in. And I don't move very fast, and I don't move very far. And I don't keep my eyes off the ground very often, because I'm making sure I'm not walking in something that I don't want to walk in. So think about that in terms of going into battle. And when you have your shoes on, when a soldier has his shoes on, they can step freely and confidently. And then they can focus on the battle. the real battle, the battle for our souls, the eternal battle, because they're not stopping and looking every two steps to make sure where they are. They have their feet ready and prepared so that their focus can be up and on where it needs to be. And you have this, you have your feet ready with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Well, what is the gospel of peace? Well, that is the good news of the kingdom of God, that Jesus is king, that he's given us grace, that he has a plan for salvation for all of mankind. The peace, this reconciliation with him that gives us the access to the kingdom, that we can cease striving and just know that he is God. This is what comes when we put the gospel of peace, when we have our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The next thing that Paul talks about is instructs us to take up the shield of faith. All right, so the shield of faith, you got to picture the shield, and I can't describe the entire shield, but you should look it up because it's really good. But the shield is not something that we wear, unlike the other things, the shoes, the belt, the breastplate. Those are things that you wear. The shield is something that you actually pick up and you carry. And you don't just carry it like a prop, like, I'm so cool, here's my shield. You actually have to take it up, and it's something that we are required to raise up in order for it to be used. It is something that we take up, the shield of faith. It doesn't just happen. All right? And in Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have to understand that it's by faith. It's by faith that we are saved, and it's by faith that we believe in the truth and the promises of God. And the shield is what guards us. The shield is what guards us from the attacks from the enemy. So it goes here. The shield deflects the enemy's lies of fear and doubt and worry. And the shield reminds us, the shield of faith reminds us and the enemy that God's in control. And even when the fiery darts are flying, and for many of us, the fiery darts are flying, and we are seeing it come on full in the face, and we're distracted. But when we pick up our shield of faith and we hold it here, it reminds us, I believe that God is in control. And there is a real enemy that is telling me otherwise. And when the enemy says, you're weak, you hold up the shield of faith that says, when I'm weak, he is strong. When the enemy says, you're good for nothing, the shield of faith says, God's given me a purpose and his power. The enemy says, God's abandoned you. He isn't good. Look at all the destruction that's around you. And the shield of faith says, God's goodness is not dependent on my circumstances. The shield of faith is what guards, deflects, and it can even be a little offensive move. Don't enter into the battle without the shield. Just don't. The next one is take up the helmet of salvation. All right, we cannot deny the importance of a helmet. And it's often the difference between life and death in accidents. Salvation, the reconciliation with God that happens once, and also it is worked out into every part of our being over time. I received and believed and had faith in salvation 20 something years ago. And I am still, to this day, working out the salvation in all parts of me. And most of it starts, and especially is included in our minds with our thoughts and our beliefs. And this helmet of salvation is covering that and working its way through and renewing my mind, because many of the battles that I'm actually fighting are in my mind. And I need protection and covering, and I need the renewing of this to allow the salvation, this reconciliation of Christ, to permeate into my thinking and into my believing, and then therefore my actions and my moving forward. And so we need the helmet of salvation to protect this life and death. And then the next thing he talks about is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I actually think this one's really fun, because as I was meditating on this, the sword is really personal, and it's actually something that has to be used correctly. Obviously, you need to put the helmet on right and the breastplate on right and all of your gear on right, but and hold up your shield. But if you're not using the sword correctly, then you're just swinging around and hoping that you're going to hit some kind of target. Who battles like that? Well, many of us do. We just pick up our sword and we just start swinging it, hoping that we're going to hit something, and we've never actually hit a targeted place with the enemy. The word has been misused, and people have been taken out by this friendly fire because fellow Christians who didn't understand the power of the weapon that they were using. There is power in the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I forgot to say that at the beginning. This power is something that many of us don't understand, and we have wielded it incorrectly. And instead of aiming it very true and piercing what it is meant to pierce, we have taken out other people with it. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For we have the living word of God, which is full of energy," and more familiar translations say living and active, "and it pierces more sharply than a two-edged sword. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of our hearts." A good swordsman will use the sword both defensively and offensively, and depending on the battle. Jesus, he was a great swordsman. He used the sword appropriately when the devil came to tempt him in the wilderness after he'd been fasting. If you look at it as a battle, which it is, the enemy would come with something, and you could just see Jesus wielding the sword just right, and not just swinging it saying, "I hope that this defeats the enemy." He was very direct and very purposeful in what he said and how he used the sword. And he won. He won that battle. And lastly, Paul exhorts us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So we have all of our gear on. And then Paul says, now you pray all the time in the Spirit on all the occasions with all of your prayers and requests. And this to me was, we have to constantly listen to the general because he knows the battle. He's got this perspective of over the whole battle. And he sees where Andy and Nick and Mark and Rebecca and Sarah and our leadership team and our elders, and he sees where and the people of our congregation, he sees where they're all laid out in this battle. And he's got this vantage point that we don't have. He's our general, and he has this master plan of how we are to go forward and move and attack. And so we need to communicate with him directly. And if we're not communicating with him, then we're just out doing our own battle plans. And when you look at an army that is, everybody's doing their own thing and fighting their own little whatever and deciding for the, saying, I know how this battle has to be won. I know, I'll do it this way. And then we just go off and do it. Can you imagine what would happen if all of these people would line up and say, God, what do you want us to do? And that we would join together. Do you know how the enemy would be defeated in that? This is the unity that Paul has been talking about. And we have to be able to listen and communicate directly with our general. And he ends by saying, keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. He's saying, you pray for those people that are in battle with you. You pray what God says to pray, and you don't throw stones at them. You pray for them to be strengthened and encouraged and for perseverance and joy and faith and peace and purpose and hope. God gives us and empowers us the ability to not only fight the enemy, but to pray for the ones that we are battling with. To not take out, but to pray for and then strengthen and encourage. And I believe that we are to use our shields of faith when others are down. You know, when you may have been one or are one that is down, And I know that there's been seasons in my life where I just feel like I just don't have the faith. I don't have the faith to go on. I don't know how to do this. And somebody will come alongside me with their shield of faith, and they'll say, I have the faith for you. I believe that this is going to happen. I believe, and I am going to stop what the enemy is throwing. I'm going to stand in faith on your behalf, and I'm here to protect, not to destroy, not to take somebody out that is down, but to stand with our shield of faith and protect. We have to learn how to not only put on the armor of God, but how to use it to stay connected with the truth and our beliefs, but also to actually advance the army of God, to defeat the enemy that is here to take all of us out. Because this is a very real and serious battle. And we are his army, and he has equipped us for the battle against this very real enemy who just changes weapons. Let me tell you, when COVID is over, there's going to be another weapon. When this season of struggle is over, there's going to be another weapon. Until the final battle, when everything is finished for all of eternity, there is going to be another battle. And we have the opportunity to stand strong in the battle that we are in by fighting the real enemy and save our strength from all of the other distractions. I'm going to end today with a charge that I gave you last week. All right? God is calling out warriors within us. Rise up. Do not bow to the enemy's intimidation. The enemy's attack is a smokescreen of distraction. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and his purpose and his vision. You are a warrior. So you can put on the armor of God. You are fully equipped. Rise up and direct your attack to the accuser, for you are destined for all things, and you will rise victorious. I'm going to pray for you. God, you are our general, you are our king, and we submit to your plans, to your leading, to your protection. Lord, forgive us for running into battle with no armor and with no weapons, believing that we can do it in our own strength, being distracted by all of the arrows that are coming in every direction, being distracted by every little thing that has popped up. God, forgive us for how we have allowed that and how we have sat down, many of us, weary, tired, exhausted, hopeless, having no peace, doubting you, wondering where you are. Lord, I pray that we would recognize that we are in the midst of a spiritual battle, and this is spiritual warfare, and that you have equipped us and empowered us to rise up and fight this battle. And that, Lord, we can come alongside one another and fight together, not fight each other, but we can fight together. We can stand up for those who are weak, and we can use our shield of faith, and teach us how to wield our sword, teach us what the belt of truth and the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness, and may we be confident with our shoes of peace, Lord. I pray, God, for courage for each one of us as warriors. That when the enemy says you're not a warrior, we would hold up that shield of faith and we would say, yes, we are, because you, God, are the ultimate one that is victorious. Lord, give us spiritual eyes and spiritual ears that we may see beyond what we can see in the natural, but that we can see where the kingdom is. We can see your kingdom coming and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that we can fight in this place of the unseen and the heavenly realms, God. You have empowered us and you have charged us with this. Lord, may we join with you in this battle because you are victorious. This is my faith, God. My faith is saying I want to be connected to you. I want to know and I want to live out what you have shared. God, you will change the church. You will empower and unleash your power in the church. And we welcome it. We welcome it. And Lord, we submit to you. God, do your thing that we may rise victorious. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, snap. Can we just, somewhere where you are, can we just thank Pastor Jill for those messages? That was a double part message. We had one last week and then one today. And what a phenomenal message. I was sitting in the room when she was just doing this last message, and you could just hear the passion, the raw passion that she has for this. But before we just go on to the next activity and hurry off to the next thing, can we just take a moment to really dwell and reflect on what she just said? So I just want to lead us through a moment. Maybe we'll have some music of just some silence and just reflection right now to really, really put in our heart what we just heard in our heads. May we realize when we go about our activities and duties today, whatever that looks like, may we realize the story and the narrative that we find ourselves in, that we are just small drops in the large ocean of life, and that Christ really has the world in his hands, and that's where we find ourselves. Love you guys. We'll see you back here next week at 9 a.m. I hope you have an amazing, amazing week. And if you're with someone, and if they're in your household, give them a good COVID hug. If not, in the comments, why don't you just say how the message was and say hi to the people watching. Love you guys. Have a good week.